on your stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order. Intellectually petty radio on the stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order.
And you are tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing, Men Make Moves and Suckers Stand Still, and as always, on the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerf DJs Radio Network. And yo, you already know, man, we only rock with legends over here, and today is absolutely no exception. We got Miss Char Curry, or better known as Say What She Wants, on the gram. The number one female advocate for men. How you doing, Queen?
I'm doing well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you. How's your day going?
It's been okay.
Okay. Yeah. Tomorrow will be better.
I gotta work.
Perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got a job, so there's that. Okay. How are you doing? How's your family?
I'm doing well, thank you. And the family is good. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
So, the number one female advocate for men, why?
You know what? I feel like so many times that us as women, we fail to dig out our childhood trauma or stuff that we went through as an adolescent or stuff that we may have experienced through previous partners. And so we can have a good man right in front of our faces, but we won't be able to see the good man that he is due to the trauma and drama that we've already experienced.
Okay. How does a good woman who is involved with ain't shit dude fix herself to get away from that?
You know what? That's where she has to really dig inside herself and find out who she really is. Because this is the thing. When we know better, we do better. And when we come out of denial and we actually see it for what it's worth, then we can level up in our minds. I feel like it's a mindset change. Because this is the thing. And even speaking personally, what I've noticed is that the more I level up, the more work I do within myself, the more I'm more self-aware and mindful of myself, then I'm aware of everyone else as well in a heightened type of way. And so what I would have accepted 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years, I won't accept now because I've leveled up in my mindset.
At your let's say, your proverbial worst, as far as you being the woman in the relationship, what were you like?
I was a mess because I was operating out of trauma and drama. And I don't say that to make excuses, because I feel like as an adult, there are ladies, there are no excuses. But I was a mess. I was pointing the finger. I was blaming. I was sharp with my tongue. I was belittling, I was degrading, I was doing anything I could to hurt him because I always saw him as the problem.
Okay, so how do you, I mean, like, what was it that led to you saying, I am the problem?
After I started to really, like, go to therapy and started to journal, I'm writing a book right now, it's called Journaling to Freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's about how I started to journal out my thoughts. I went back to my childhood where stuff happened to me. I started to journal these things out and see where this hurt and this pain and resentment of the world. Because anybody could have got it. Jobs, listen, anybody could have got it. I was mad at the world, okay? And so the more I dug deep down inside of myself and the more I was mindful of myself and the more I came out of the denial that I wasn't the problem, that I wasn't part of the issue, that everybody else was. That is when I began to say, like, wow, like, I don't want to be like that no more. It's like I had an experience where I was out of myself and I could see myself acting out in these ways. And I wasn't proud of the way I was acting. It was horrible. It was ridiculous. And so the fact that I was able to see myself in a different way and want to change, that's how I ended up coming out of that mindset. I had to strip all those things that I had learned. I had to strip seeing my mother belittle men, seeing my sisters belittle men, seeing my grandmother talk in certain ways to men, I had to strip myself of those things so that way I could be the best me I could be for myself, but also for my person.
How do you love a broken woman?
It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of patience, and it takes you having already done some of your own work, because if not, she's going to pull you back down. She will pull you back down, I promise you. And this is the thing. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Just like, you know, even if it was vice versa, it's not for everybody. It takes a special person. It takes a very special person who has already done some of their own work to be able to see that person and say, you know what, man, like, I see how broken they are. I see, you know, and also it takes some type of knowledge and wisdom as far as mental structure, because if I hadn't been able to pull myself out, then I wouldn't be able to help the people that I help now. I wouldn't be able to. I had to go through the fire to pull other people out of the fire.
I think that some people are attracted to fixing other people.
Yes. Some people thrive off of that because they are so broken. And I don't like to use the word broken, because as humans, we go through things every day, right? And so we're constantly, those of us that are aware, we're constantly working on making sure that we're, you know, keeping up our end of the deal as far as integrity and being a good person and having good character, right? Mm-hmm. But it's hard work. I promise you, it's hard work, but it's worth it. It's so worth it.
Why is there such a lack of accountability on women's part nowadays?
I feel like society has a lot to do with that. A lot of people nowadays, jobs, they don't want to take responsibility for themselves because society has made it to where women don't have to in a lot of ways. Like, you guys are always held to a certain standard. You guys are always held accountable for what the women say and what the women do, because as we know, your woman is an extension of you, right? And so mm-hmm. what happens is when your woman acts out, they look into you like, hey,
yeah,
that's your household. That's you right there. What you gonna do about it? So basically, she's the ruler. She's the leader. She's the controller of the kingdom.
Yeah. Oh boy, you said a mouthful right there. What's the biggest pushback you get from men?
You can't speak for us. You're a woman. You don't know what we want. You don't know what we like. You're just throwing something out there. But at the end of the day, jobs, like from a spiritual standpoint, God sent me. The universe, whatever you believe in, God, the universe, Allah, whatever you believe in, I was sent. I was chosen for this. That's how I can do it so effortlessly. People think like I'm thinking of all this stuff to post and I got brothers and this is that. No, God literally tells me, I pick up the phone, I record the video, and I post it. That's how it works. I don't sit back and think about anything. I do this because this is my purpose. But men do. They come on and they say, well, you can't speak for us. You're not a man. Okay, that's your opinion. But at the end of the day, lives are being changed every single day. Lives are being saved every single day. I can't tell you how many hours I have spent on the phone with men and women, because I do. I'm the number one female advocate for men, but I'm a sister to women as well. I've spent countless hours on the phone with people who are going to take themselves out. People are getting help. You can see underneath my posts the stuff that people say. People's lives are being changed. I just don't post it all. Every single day, Dobbs, every single day, lives are being changed. Marriages are being saved. Relationships are being saved. Children are being are staying with their parents because of what I do.
Do soulmates exist?
I believe they do, but I just had this conversation earlier, something similar, but I also believe that sometimes we can hit a certain plateau, or we have been with someone by default, if you will. Okay. Because like for, as far as myself, I was with my ex-husband. I was with him since we were kids. Mm-hmm. So we were two traumatic individuals that got together. Right. Mm-hmm. So what was going to come out of that? Trauma and drama. Yeah. Okay. And so, were you going to ask something?
No, I'm disagreeing with you.
So this is the thing. As much as that was my person at the time, it reached this plateau. It served its purpose in my life and my journey, because what happened was I began to do all this work on myself. I began to look inside myself. I began to, you know, do all this work within myself and find myself. And unfortunately, he chose not to. So there was this constant friction, constant friction, constant friction. You know what I mean? And what I say is, we were two traumatic individuals that got together. And yes, I was doing my work, and he chose not to. But at the end of the day, he's still one of the most intelligent men I know. One of the most smartest men I know. He has such a genius mind. I will never take away from the greatness that he is. And that's something I feel like so many times, Jobs. It's like, what happens is, they think just because you're no longer in congruency with the person that you have to tear them down. And it's not so. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. So like I said, like shout out to him, because that was my life partner for so long. And for whatever reason, you know, if things happen how they happen. But he's still always going to be one of the most influential people that was ever in my life, because I learned so much from him. And he's such a genius. He has such a genius mind. Like, seriously.
Are you
great hearted person, yet didn't choose to do their work. And so what happens is that there ends up being holds on us in different manners and ways.
Are y'all better friends now?
Unfortunately, no. I have worked on reaching out, reconciling, and not as far as a relationship, but as far as human to human, person to person. Mm-hmm. We have children. But unfortunately, he's still upset and bitter that I chose to leave. So no, we're not, unfortunately.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. It really is. And you know, this is the first time anybody's ever asked me that. And I appreciate you for asking me that, because like I say, I'm always going to speak very, very, very highly of him. But it still saddens me that he's still to this day choosing to not do the work. And it's been 5 years since we dispersed. It saddens me.
Women take it way worse when he leaves.
You know, I feel like it depends on the person. I also feel like it depends on what emotional and psychological state they're in during that time. So I'm just gonna say that I feel like both sides go through it in different manners, depending on what mindset and what spiritual realm they may be in at that moment. But I feel like everybody takes things differently depending on where they're at emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. It does. I get you.
Yeah.
How important is a father in the success of his daughter's relationships?
I feel like it's very important, because... I feel like it's going to help somebody. It's very imperative. It's very important. But I feel like so many times as fathers, the fathers get tossed to the side because they're bringing in most fathers are bringing in the income. They're being the protectors. They're being the providers. But yet the mother is usually there that's mothering them. And so what happens is, I feel like the dad's role is that protector, that provider, that guide, that director. I feel like it gets tossed to the side so many times. And even speaking for myself, my father was killed by San Jose Police Department when I was 7. So wow. I never got to experience that. And so I always longed for that. I always wanted that, but I was never able to get that. So I feel like things would have been a lot different, even in my own personal experiences with men, if I was able to actually have my father there.
Are there certain traits that women without fathers share?
In my opinion, I'm going to say yes, because I'm going to say they deal with a lot of rejection. They deal with a lot of resentment. They deal with a lot of anxiety. They deal with the light of flight or fight or flight mode. It's either they fight you or either they flee. A lot of times they deal with depression, and depending on, you know, because sometimes we do have stepfathers and grandfathers and big brothers that step up to the plate. But as far as having that father, I feel like that's always If she's missing that, then that's always going to be something that's detrimental to her, especially when she hasn't found out who she really is yet. See, I was hurt. So I was operating out of that hurt and that anger and that bitterness, that resentment, that rejection from not having my father. But once I was able to put things into perspective, then I was grateful. I was grateful. Because even though I had to learn it the hard way, per mm-hmm. se, mm-hmm. It's ingrained in me now to be that woman, to be the best that I can be, even though my dad has passed on. I feel empowered now instead of operating out of that bitterness and that anger and that hurt.
I'm curious, what type of woman did your mom end up becoming as a result of him being murdered?
So my mother was like, ever since I can remember, my mother was on drugs.
Wow.
So, and this is the thing, I held resentment against my mom for a long time, and I had so much anger and bitterness pent up against her, but she didn't have that either. So at one point, I had to go and forgive my mother, and I had to ask her for forgiveness in the ways I had displayed anger and resentment towards her, and the ways I had acted towards her and treated her. And that was also one of the things that released me, like spiritually and mentally, because I no longer held on to that. So I was able to be a better person, a better woman, and actually start to teach myself how to be feminine, how to be soft, how to be forgiving. So
that's like something that I hear a lot of complaints about, that I too have complained about, is the masculinity of women.
Yes.
It's almost unbearable.
Yes. And can I just speak to this? And I used to be one of those that was labeled that, right? Because mm-hmm. from a young age, I had to fend for myself. So I was in survival mode. So therefore I was soft on the inside, but on the outside, I had a harder out shell. I had a hard outer shell, I felt like I had to have that in order to protect myself. It was my own protective mechanism. So once I saw it for what it was, then I was able to shift things and change things. And yes, I'm super outspoken now. I always have been outspoken, but I no longer carry that real hard. Like, you know, I come forth with love.
Yeah.
I come forth with patience. I come forth with care. So, but this is something I feel like I had to learn it the hard way, but that's how I'm able to teach it now, is because I've walked through the fire. I've been refined. I am the blood diamond. I am the rare form. I am the unicorn.
Biggest change that women that come to you want to make?
They want to be better for their person. And I tell them, sis, you have to want to be better for you first. The more you're better for you first, the more it's going to spread like wildfire. You're going to be able to have the patience and the love that you're supposed to have for other people. But it starts in here first. They want to change for their person. They say, you know what? I had a good man and I'm working on things, or I had a good man and I ran him away, or, you know, sis, I'm ready to be married and I need some help, because I want to make sure that I'm able to hold on to him when I get him.
Heard a woman, I don't know, maybe a month ago, telling a coworker that she had not done anything wrong in her relationship in 2 years.
Yep, of course. I'm not surprised.
But when you hear that, what do you think about that woman?
That she's operating out of hurt, that she's operating out of anger, that she's operating out of denial, that she's operating out of a skewed lens of hurt and trauma and drama. And she has not been able to be truthful with herself because it's too painful to look at herself. A lot of women, I'm telling you right now, a lot of women don't like to face what they've been through because it's too painful. And baby, listen, it hurts. I spent almost a year refining myself. I was curled up in a ball some nights, some days. Some days I didn't sleep. Some days I slept too much. Some days I would sit up there and just cry and weep. Some days I was so hurt that I couldn't cry. But on the other side of it, Blood Diamond.
So, relationship wise, yes, since you came out on the other side,
yes,
what's prevented you from finding Mr. Right?
You know what? I don't feel like anything is preventing me. I was engaged a couple years after the divorce. I was engaged, and my person chose to act towards me in violence, if you will. And okay, they also chose to, you know, we were in a committed connection, and they chose to have someone else in their energy, if you will. And so, so I had to, you know, get away from that, of course. But now it's like, I just moved to Atlanta about 5 months ago.
Okay.
So now I feel like I'm in a better geographical location, because where I moved from in California, I feel like I was at a geographical disadvantage because there was predominantly white people. And I don't date people, okay?
Hey, I'm not mad at you at all.
it's just not my cup of tea. So, you know, I'm very open now, shall we say, because I feel like I'm in a geographical location where I can meet somebody, honestly.
More important, liking or loving?
Liking.
That's what I say too.
Liking, yes, because if I don't like you, because this is the thing, I can love you, but if I don't like you, that means I don't like being around you, I don't want to be bothered with you, and I'm not going to be able to stomach you. So I feel like liking is more important. I have to like you to care for you and treat you like, oh my gosh, like, ooh, it's important.
Love is more proximity related.
Yes.
If I'm around you enough, I'm going to develop some feelings for you. I'm going to love you. You know, liking this. That gets you through the times where you don't love each other.
Exactly. And it does. And can we just say that? Can I just say this really quick? Ladies and to the guys that are listening, please make sure that you're not, that you work through things, that you actually use communication to work through things with your person, because so many times all it takes is a decent conversation. Learn great communicational skills. If there's something that you feel like you can't communicate to your partner about, then you need to fix that. There's something when a breakdown in communication, there's a breakdown in your connection. But you have to be able to talk things through and to be coupled with that. Don't stay mad at your person for days. Like, don't do that. Like, seriously, what you're doing is you're drawing a wedge in between you and your person. You don't want to do that. And it shows your person. If you're the one that's being silent or giving them the silent treatment, it shows your person that they can't really trust you. Because why aren't you opening up to me? That's why it's imperative to make sure you're digging your stuff out. Because when you start to dig your stuff out, that's when you can operate properly. That's when you can really get in there and learn who you are. And that's when you learn how to communicate better. You can put away the childish stuff, like the childish stuff, like the silent treatment. Oh, I'm mad. I'm going to stay mad forever, like a little kid. No, we're adults now. So we have to put on our big girl panties and our big boy drawers. We have to really be mindful about forgiving our person and actually talking things out. Don't do that, because you don't know when it's your last minute, your last second on earth. And you don't want to be that person that's with somebody and something happens to them, and then you regret not having the conversation or treating them properly.
Outside of the extremes, you know, physical or, you know, shit like that, at what point do you tell a couple it's time for y'all to call it quits?
I never do that. You know why? Because it's not my place, and it's not my place to say that. That is for those two people to figure that out, or for the one part to say like, oh, okay, well, I can no longer deal with this, and so I'm going to disperse of the connection. But I don't feel like that's ever my place. I do say that if there's something physical going on, or, you know, something to that nature, then absolutely, like, you need to, and what I say is you need to do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. But I don't feel like it's ever my job to tell anybody like, oh, no, that's not my place.
Best piece of advice that you've given?
Make sure that you always look in the mirror. You look at yourself first. It's so easy to blame somebody else or point the finger at somebody else for the things that we experience in life. but always look in the mirror and examine yourself first. Change starts with you.
Thank you so much. You are so dope. Although I already knew that. And I'm not sure if there's anything I can do for you, but if on the off chance there is, please let me know, and I absolutely got you.
Thank you.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and I owe you another interview. We got to do it soon.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye, y'all.
Yo, you already know this has been Jobs. This has been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. That was interesting. Definitely love to hear from a sister's point of view. And she, if you check out her page or Instagram, Say What She Wants, you will see that she goes hard for the brothers. She really does. And I can't believe brothers is mad at her. Anyway, on that note, y'all have a good one. I'll see y'all back at the same time next week. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the channel. And I'm out.